This morning's reading is from Psalm 48. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise in the city of our God, his holy mountain. It is beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth. Like the utmost heights of Zaphon is Mount Zion, the city of the great king. God is in her citadels. He has shown himself to be her fortress. When the kings joined forces, when they advanced together, they saw her and were astounded. They fled in terror. Trembling seized them there, pain like a woman in labor. You destroyed them like ships of Tarshish shattered by the east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen. In the city of the Lord Almighty, in the city of our God, God makes her secure forever. Within your temple, O God, we mediate on your unfailing love. Like your name, O God, your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Mount Zion rejoices. The villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments. Walk about Zion, go around her, count her towers, consider well her ramparts, view her citadels. Then you may tell of them to the next generation. For this, God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. I'm just going to get myself sorted, and I had to bring a box up with me just because wherever I go, I seem to have a box or a bag. I'll come to that later. But let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, may you open our ears to hear your voice and our eyes to see you in new ways this morning. Amen. Well, I'd like to start this morning with a big thank you to our sound and media team, who week by week record the talks and put them onto the church website. Put your hand up if you've used the listen again. I'm going to just tell you all about it. Well, I, for one, are very grateful that they do this because I'm often in Sunday school, so I don't get to hear the talk and would otherwise have to rely on conversations with others to find out what has been said. And, of course, there's the possibility that I might just get their take on it or the bits they've remembered. So I am grateful that not only can I listen for the first time through the website, but I can also listen again. And I would really encourage you to listen again. There has been some really good preaching and teaching over the past few months, and I would be sad to think you may have missed out. So with this in mind, and knowing how much CSK like a game or two, I thought we would have a little quiz about recent talks. So, who said what? Now, for those of you who are thinking, but Joy, this is not all-age worship, or Joy, the children have already gone out. Well, we all know it's the adults in our church who are the competitive ones amongst us and enjoy a quiz just as much, or if not more so, than the children. So, I am going to share some quotes from talks that have been given during this year at CSK. And you just need to match the talk to the speaker. Now, I will say straight away, that is not all those are not all the speakers we've had this year. We've also heard from Zoe and Heather and Francis. But we could be here a long time if I included everybody. So I hope those people will not be offended. And those people who are on the screen are now thinking, oh, what did I talk about? What, I hope I remember my own talk. So here is our first slide, and do just shout out if you think you know who said this in their talk. The thing I get excited about is meeting with a God who goes beyond this world and is with me in the highs and the lows, and his presence changes things. Oh, it's very resounding on the shoesha. No, it was Rachel. You're right. Next one. A small amount of faith can change major things, but it is the presence of doubt that hinders our faith. Believing in the risen Lord Jesus is foundational. There's a pizza there. No, it was Shuja. You've got lots of chances. Number three, we need to proclaim the gospel, providing that opportunity to hear about the love of God. I'm sure Sylvia said it many, 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 many times. But actually, this was one of our visiting preachers, and maybe I should have pointed out there's two faces on there that you might not have recognised. One of them is John Randall on the second sort of slide, and one of them is Mike Farrington. And it was Mike Farrington from Romsey Mill. Number four. If you are a Christian, you have the power of the Holy Spirit within you. Why not live and minister like you know that you have that power within you? Why not live and minister like you know the depths of the Father's love for you? I'll give you a clue. It was Pentecost. It was an evening service. It was John Randall. There's two more. We're doing well. And that is my prayer for us all today, that we might recognize Jesus when we break bread together. It was Peter. Well done. So, process of elimination. Sylvia's going, phew, I know it's my talk. God is still into the business of using very, very ordinary people to serve him today. The Lord says, I have need of you. When you allow me to work with you and in you and through you, you can do extraordinary things, no matter how ordinary you think you are. Well, that's the end of our game. Give yourselves a round of applause. So as I've been preparing this talk, I have been greatly encouraged by these quotes, because I feel that what has been preached about, talked about, prayed about already this year has very much led to this moment. When I say I want to talk about vision, about being more church, about taking risks, stepping out in faith, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, I don't think that should come as a surprise, especially having just read all of those quotes. But we have an amazing opportunity, a calling. God has placed us in this community. He has provided us with this building for a reason. He wants to use us to tell of his love, his forgiveness, and the relationship that we can all have with him. I'm going to take you back in time for just a few moments. When I was 10 years old, quite a long time ago now, living in Buckinghamshire, my parents announced to my sisters, I have two of them, and I, that they felt called to lay pastor a Baptist church in a village called Toddington in Bedfordshire. When we said to people we were going to Toddington, most of them said, oh, the M1. The M1 service station. We didn't really know where it was, but thankfully the village was much nicer than the M1 and the M1 service station. At that time, when my parents announced this, we were living in a house that I'd lived in since I was 6 months old, so I knew no other. We had been in the same Baptist church, same Sunday school, for all that time. My parents had both been very involved with the church, and we were used to the young people's Bible class coming round for Sunday tea, lunch with visiting preachers or missionaries, or preparing lots of resources for a holiday club. So as you have probably guessed, although I knew this was important, and I knew how strong my parents' faith was, as even then I could see how God had already used them in many ways in the church, to be honest, I was not altogether happy about this change. I was only 10, what did I know? Now, I've often looked back at that time, and for me, those 8 years in Toddington have been a major influence on my life and my faith. During that time, I became a Christian. not actually whilst I was at church, but whilst I was away at the Greenbelt Festival. I was 16 years old. I was baptised by my dad in that church in the smallest baptistry I've ever seen. And I was tall at that point, so you can probably imagine what it was like. Also, I couldn't swim and I was not very keen on getting my face wet. But I wanted to be baptised and my dad baptised me. I was a Sunday school teacher by the age of 15. And at one point, we were holding Sunday school in people's homes because there was an extension being built at the church. And that is the church in the middle picture. I don't remember it looking quite like that with shiny windows. I also helped my mum with the annual holiday club, which she sort of organised with the four churches in the village. It was a small village, but it had four churches and it had a pub for every church, so to speak. But it was also where I decided I wanted to become a teacher. But that didn't happen for quite some time. So although there was amazing things happened in that time, it was not without its challenges either. In many ways, I feel that time was a good training ground for being here at CSK. And I've often thought about that, and I've often talked to my parents about it. I saw my parents step out in faith, and they were open to God's calling, and still are, even at the age of 80. I've seen that here at CSK, as we have journeyed together from the school halls to this building, through a time of interregnum to welcoming Sylvia as our vicar, even more recently, from going from one Sunday school group in the schools to two, to three, and now youth as well. And I could go on with lots and lots of examples. But again, it's not been without its challenges. In our psalm, and there was a little bit of confusion on the screen, but our psalm is 48, we heard these opening lines. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. In the city of our God, his holy mountain. Do we shout this from the rooftops, fling wide the church doors and tell our community about this? Or do we perhaps assume that people out there will know what we're all about? Or are we more concerned about our own personal experiences of praise and worship? When I was asked for a title for my talk today, I really struggled. But this is it. Be more church. This is what I want to invite us all to be, perhaps challenge us all to be today. And I just want to clarify from the start, I am not saying be more exhausted, be more busy, so busy that we take our eyes off God. Further on in Psalm 48, in verse 13, we read these words, that you may tell of them to the next generation. Only last week, Heather spoke to us about passing on the baton of faith. Yes, we need to tell the next generation, but more importantly, we need to tell this generation at whatever age we may be within it now. How can we be more church so that we are spreading the message through our words and actions? Well, verse 14 reminds us that we are not alone. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end. Now, I find that that stirs up quite a lot of mixed emotions. It's comforting, encouraging, mind-blowing, but also challenging. Because what if God wants me or us to do something that I'm really not ready for, or perhaps I really don't want to do? What if God wants me to be more church? What if we have to step out of our comfort zone to be the body of Christ in this community? I recently heard the church being expressed like this, reflecting who God is and being the image of God. And it's about doing that together, being church with each other, not doing church to each other. So this morning I want to share a vision that has been discussed in the leadership team of how we might be more church over the summer holidays and beyond. How might we be more church here in Hampton? How might we better serve God and our community? Now, I'm currently putting together a team of people to reach out to families in our community over the summer holidays through three events. And when I say families, I mean intergenerational, just as our church family here is at CSK. But my question is, will you, the church, get involved with providing a family film night, an activity or craft morning, or an indoor games afternoon? Here are the dates. Have a quick look. Not everyone on Hampton will go away during the summer holidays. In a recent conversation with a family support worker from one of the primary schools here on Hampton, she said that some families will not leave Hampton at all over the summer, and also that many families don't have any extended family nearby. What will their summer be like? So will you be part of a team that opens up the church doors for our community over the summer? Now you might be thinking, well, Joy, what does that look like? What does that mean? Well, I've written an overview of each of the events and all the different ways that people can get involved. They're on massive pieces of paper that I'm going to stick up at the end of the service. Some will be at the back and some will be by chimes. All I need to know from you today is, will you help? You don't even need to say how you might help at this moment, but I do need to know that we've got enough people to go ahead. Do we see this as a church that's something we want to do together? And that's why I have my box. If you would like to be involved in any way, just put your name on this piece of paper and it makes clear sense when you read it, and just put it into the box. Or, even better, come and talk to me afterwards. If you think, well, I need more time to think about that, Joy, email me. Email me in the week. children@hamptonchurch.co.uk. Can you tell I've said that a lot recently? You don't have to sign up to help at every event. Perhaps you will help at one and bring a family you know to another. Perhaps you will help by preparing resources if you can't physically be there. Perhaps you will be the person who will come at the end to help pack away and put the chairs back in the right places. Or perhaps you will be the person who will come alongside and chat, play, listen and befriend. And as Heather mentioned earlier, drip the gospel. These events will be for children and their families to come along to. But what happens after the summer holiday? What happens in September? Will we be more church by being part of a team which does church with people in a different way? Through activities, crafts, songs, stories, prayer, worship, and finishing with tea together. Well, we're going to give it a try on Saturday, the 29th of September. It's been mentioned quite a few times, and we really feel that God is prompting us in this direction. But we need to work together. And when I say with, I mean this. It's church for the team as well as anyone who may come through the doors for the first time. It's being church together. And if we needed a role model for doing things differently, surely we only need to look to Jesus. He was great with visual aids. I'll use a flower. Oh, loaves and fish. I'll draw in the sand. He showed miracles, storytelling. He was the most amazing storyteller. He had conversations with people. He ate with people. But also, he took time to be apart and to be quiet. One of my favourite passages in the Bible is the Road to Emmaus. And this verse in particular, Luke 24, verse 32. Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us? And the response of the two disciples was to return at once to Jerusalem and tell the disciples, "It is true, the Lord has risen." Who do we rush to tell? Who will we rush to tell? In a moment, we are going to sing a song which is entitled "Build My Life." The music group are going to come and just prepare. And the words of the chorus are this: "Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me." This is my prayer for us all today, for you and for me, that we will know who God is, that he will fill us with his heart of compassion, and that he will lead us to reach out and show his love in this church and this community. Amen.